What comes to your mind when you hear words like loyalty? Just what words?
Faithful.
Commitment. Can somebody interpret that for me, please? I thought it was tongues. Sorry. Okay. Commitment, faithful, trustworthy. Those are the kinds of words that come to mind when we think of commitment. Now, I wish he were here because John Devine is a very loyal Aston Villa supporter. This means that he supports them through thick and thin. It doesn't matter if they lose or if they lose. He remains loyal to them. He doesn't suddenly change to Manchester City just because Aston Villa lost again. John is loyal to his team. Of course, we have some Western Province supporters in this congregation as well, and they are loyal to Western Province. Look, I can understand what's going on there because we were in Stellenbosch for 23 years and I never stopped being a Shark supporter, and I was ribbed from all sides and people got nasty towards me. How could I reject this province that has given me a home to still support the Sharks? So I knew what it like to be accused of disloyalty, but I remained faithful to my team, the Sharks. And of course, every now and again, they display gratitude for my loyalty and they win a game. And when it's against Western Province, I particularly enjoy it, particularly when Yanni's around. So let me ask, do you think that loyalty is a forgotten virtue? Okay, thank you. There's a couple of nods out there. It's society might have a problem with loyalty. But here's another question which I'd like to hear. How many of you believe that you are loyal people? Of course, you all think you're loyal people. You see the problem? We all think that society has got a problem with loyalty, but that problem doesn't start with us at all, because we regard ourselves as being loyal. So weigh that one up. It seems to me that that loyalty is something which it's best recognized. It's easy to recognize it in other people, but maybe sometimes we need to get it pointed out in our own lives when we are less than loyal. And tonight I just want us to kind of be honest as we examine ourselves. And I want to give a couple of stories that deal with loyalty. Now, the first one, the context of this is the Last Supper. I'm going to be needing this shortly, so I just want to get it all queued up. The context is the Last Supper, and it was the evening that Jesus was crucified. It was the evening before he was crucified. And Jesus is there in this upper room where he's having supper with his disciples, and it was a really intimate affair. Jesus had shared some really important stuff with his disciples. Then they got up from supper and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, he says, "This very night you will fall away on account of me." He's warning them that there's going to be a little bit of disloyalty amongst you tonight. He's giving them a heads up that they can expect it. Now, of course, Peter knows that he is loyal to Jesus. He recognizes loyalty might be a problem in society. He recognizes that loyal might be a problem with the other disciples, but he knows he is loyal. And so Peter says, "Even if all fall away from you, I never will." Of course, Peter said that because he knew that he was loyal. And so Jesus, worried about Peter, gives a very specific challenge to Peter. He says to Peter, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times." No way. I mean, Peter's loyal, right? And so he says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never, ever disown you." I'm loyal. I will be loyal to the point of death, says Peter. Well, we know the sad story. Jesus is arrested, and Peter follows at a distance, follows Jesus into the courtyard. And in that courtyard, we know that on three separate occasions, Peter is asked, "Do you know this man?" And Peter, dear, loyal unto death, Peter, you know what he says three times?
"You got the wrong man, lady. I don't know him. And I wasn't where he was tonight. Never near the base."
"I never knew him," says Peter. "I never knew him." If you ask Peter if loyalty was a forgotten virtue, he would have said, "For sure." If you ask Peter if he was loyal, he would have said, "For sure, I'm loyal. Haven't I just sworn allegiance to death?" But when loyalty was required of him, "You've got the wrong man, lady." He wasn't loyal. Turns out that Peter was loyal, but only to himself. Here's another story, another sad story. King David had a son, Absalom. And Absalom ended up murdering someone. He went on the run. But after about 3 years, Absalom returns to Jerusalem with a big army. He wants to overthrow his father, David. Talk about disloyalty. So now King David is on the run. And King David is trying to save his own life. In his army, in David's army, he has got some mercenaries, and one of them is the name Ittai. Now, David had hired Ittai along with Ittai's 600 soldiers. Now, clearly, Ittai is a mercenary. He's not a Jew. He doesn't belong there. He's got no fight with Absalom. Absalom's got no fight with him. He has got no need to show any loyalty to David. After all, he is a hired mercenary. And now David is on the run, and there is Ittai, a mercenary. He's volunteering to fight for David. So we pick up the story. "Why are you coming with us? Go on back with your men to King Absalom, for you are a guest in Israel, a foreigner in exile. You arrived only yesterday, and now should I force you to wander with us? I don't even know where we will go. Go on back and take your troops with you, and may the Lord show you his unfailing love and faithfulness." Now, this is what loyalty looks like. "But Ittai said to the king, 'I vow by the Lord and by my own life that I will go wherever you go, no matter what happens, whether it means life or death.'" Now, remember Peter? Peter made a similar statement. He also proclaimed his loyalty, just as Ittai is now proclaiming his loyalty. But when push came to shove, Peter was loyal only to himself. How different it was with Ittai. David replied, "All right then, come with us." So Ittai and his 600 men and families went along. Not only did Ittai prove his loyalty, proclaim loyalty, he proved it. And if you read the story, Ittai led his 600 men in battle. He fought so faithfully for David that David promoted him and gave Ittai ultimately control over a third of his troops. All because Ittai embraced the virtue of loyalty. You see, that's what loyalty looks like. No matter what it costs, even if it costs my life, no matter what everybody thinks, doesn't matter, I will remain loyal. The truth is, we are all loyal up to a point, as Peter was. But are we unconditionally loyal? If we're going to be loyal, it's a choice we make. I am going to be loyal, period. No negotiating after that. Look at a couple of areas in which we can see loyalty as important. And as I did the other night, I'm going to start in the area of marriage. You see, 51% of marriages end in divorce. That means that 51% of people who promise before God and the congregation undying loyalty to their spouse one out of every two laps into disloyalty. In the wedding ceremony, we promise loyalty. We promise for richer, for poorer, for better or for worse, in sickness and in death, until death parts us. That is a declaration of loyalty. I'm going to be loyal, even to the point of death. Now, I referred to the prophet Malachi the other day, how the men were coming to Malachi and complaining that God wasn't answering the prayers, and how Malachi had responded, "You cover the Lord's altar with your tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your prayers. You cry out, 'Why has the Lord abandoned us?' I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made to each other on your wedding day when you were young, but you have been disloyal to her. I hate divorce. So guard yourself always. Remain loyal to your wife," is what Malachi was telling those husbands. And I want to say that men, when we walk down the street and we ogle other women, we are being disloyal to our husband. And wives dressing in a way that flaunts their bodies to other people is being disloyal to your husband. A husband complaining to workmates about your wife is being disloyal to her. And wives belittling your husband in front of the children is being disloyal to him. It is easy to be disloyal to our spouses, and that disloyalty might not end in divorce, but it doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor our spouse. Even though it might not end in divorce, it might. Loyalty in marriage is something that we need to guard. What about loyalty to our friends? Yeah, we have a proverb: a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of needs. And yeah, let me tell you a way that we can be disloyal. Gossip. So easy. Gossiping means we're simply talking about our friend when they are not there. And if they are not there and they have been spoken about, they can't defend themselves when you're talking about them. In fact, you don't even need to participate in the conversation. Just listening in on that conversation without saying anything is already being disloyal to them. If people talk about our friends, we show loyalty by saying something like this: "Look, I'm out of this discussion. So-and-so is not here. We can't talk about them when they're not here to defend themselves." And you opt out of the conversation. You see, they might think that you being whatever, it doesn't matter. Loyalty is a forgotten virtue. And we who proclaim to be loyal, we need to be loyal to our friends by opting out of discussions about them when they're not there to defend themselves. Here's another proverb: faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, being loyal to a friend doesn't mean you only say nice things about them. But if you've got something to say to them that's not nice, you make sure that you say it to them, not about them when they're not around. You see, only a loyal friend is going to be willing to point out the difficult thing to that person and say, "You know, what you're doing there is really not helping you in relationships with people. Or when you say that, it's very offensive," or whatever it is. You know, who's going to say that other than a loyal friend? So loyalty is not just about saying the nice things, "Oh, what a wonderful person you are." Loyalty means actually helping them grow by pointing out things which might hurt them at the time. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But just look at one more area requiring loyalty before we get to discuss this. We read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And of course, I'm talking about loyalty to your church. Loyalty to your church. I know, and I've been around a couple of churches, I know that the perfect church does not exist. I know that. I know that at some point the church that you've associated with is going to let you down, going to disappoint you. People are going to behave badly, whatever. You see, here's the problem. Churches are made up of people like you and me. People who say, yeah, loyalty is a problem out there. No, I'm a loyal person. You know, and maybe we are, but we also fail from time to time. And so there isn't the perfect church, but it's a bride of Christ. He gave himself for the church. He loves the church. And we too must remain loyal to the church. The church is not perfect. Loyalty means what we saw in the early church. We see that they devoted themselves. They continued to meet together. That's loyalty. Are there problems? Well, talk to the elders. Let's hear from you. Let's see if we can resolve the issues. You don't just stop coming. You don't go out there and gossip about the church, about the pastors, about the youth, about the music. You show loyalty. You're part of the solution. This is your family. And you show loyalty to your family. You see, we pray for you every week. We work as hard as we can on preparing sermons that we believe are going to be helpful and going to feed you. We are loyal to you. We don't talk about you to other people. We appreciate the time that you give us by coming and listening to us week by week, by showing up, by volunteering. Won't you show loyalty to your church and become part of the solution if there are things that are going wrong? Not saying there are. We're very blessed in our church, I think. But devote yourself to the church. Continue to meet together. Loyalty, you're right, it is a forgotten virtue, but it's an important virtue. And our biggest motivation and loyalty to the in any sense is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only was he that loyal that he came to experience the life that each one of us live, he then took the punishment that we all deserved so that we could enjoy closeness with the Father. But his loyalty didn't end there. We are told in the book of Hebrews that right now, Jesus is at the Father's side and he's praying for us. He remains loyal to us and he prays to the Father. And I'm asking, won't we commit to loyalty? Because we want to be like Jesus. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I do believe that we are a group of people who are loyal in this church. I thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for areas and ways in which I personally have seen loyalty worked out in the lives of many of these folk. Lord, help us as a church to embrace loyalty as a virtue. Let it never become a forgotten virtue among us, because in the end, we want to please you as we demonstrate loyalty, not in just in these areas about which we have now spoken, but in all areas. We want to be known as those who are loyal. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.